All right, Asbury, welcome back to another segment of the Embrace Radio Show. I am here with Esther and Maria from the Office of Intercultural Affairs. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing all right, Sophie. How are you?
Good.
We kind of came careening in today.
Yeah.
I was just bemoaning, as you know, all the things that I have forgotten today, the balls I have dropped. And I'm wondering if there is an invention that could take things from my brain and make me remember them. And Ben suggested pen and paper. Sounds to be mildly insulting.
I mean, it works, so.
Yeah, it works. When you remember to write it down, I think that's the problem. But we're happy to be here today with Asbury. Happy to hear. Happy to be sharing another story of another student. But first, Esther, you are headed out of town and have some words of wisdom to share with the greater world. Tell us where you're headed.
Maria, it is such a delight to do this live with you.
Because you never know what I'm going to say.
You never know, but you always know that it's going to be something lighthearted and fun. So thank you for always grounding us in that reality. So you are right. I am headed out tomorrow with a couple of our community members, with Dr. Sarah Baldwin, Dr. Timothy Worcester, and Dr. Kirk Sims. We are all traveling to Portland, Oregon, and we will be attending the Diversity and Inclusion Conference at George Fox this weekend. And so I am super excited because this conference is sponsored by the CCCU, which for those of us that are still learning all these acronyms, the CCCU is the Consortium for Christian Colleges and Universities. And so the conference is being hosted by this body that Asbury and similar institutions are a part of. So I'm excited. And, you know, if you think of it, keep me in mind because I will be presenting on Saturday.
I should write that down or else I won't.
Actually, you know, I was talking with my mom over the break and she said, make sure you tell Maria so she'll pray for you.
Your mom needs that. Tell Maria to write this down so that she will remember.
So I am excited because I will get to speak a little bit about the research and the work that I've been doing for the last five or so years, trying to study the connection between theology and cultural competency. You know, so to kind of unpack it just slightly, I'm kind of curious how our theological orientations encourage us or discourage us from having a level of capacity or a skill set in knowing how to interact with persons from different cultures and different ethnicities. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting, especially given our Wesleyan context. I'm assuming you'll be speaking to that, how that informs the way we view others.
Yes, you are right on point. Because I am a Wesleyan, I grew up as a Wesleyan in India, and I have continued to walk in that theological understanding, even here in the United States. And so I am very much going to critique and assess and look at Wesleyan theology and how as a whole, you know, because Wesleyan theology is pretty wide. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many aspects, but the pillar stones of Wesleyan theology, you know, are really the concept of grace, the concept of salvation, Christian perfection, justification. So those are some of the popular areas of Wesleyan studies. And there's a lot that is in those categories that lends itself to help us understand how do we construct a theology or how do we construct a posture as a result of our theological understanding that only encourages a greater level of capacity towards working with those that are different from ourselves. So thanks for letting me do that long exegesis, but I'm so excited to get to do that. It's a new experience for me. I have loved to travel, and I haven't traveled in a while, so I am excited to get on the plane.
But early, you know, in the
what,
morning.
Maria, it is really early in the morning.
It is very early in the morning.
I think we're supposed to leave campus maybe at 5 a.m.
Oh.
So everybody else sleeping in, have a great sleeping.
Well, we're excited to hear how that goes, Esther. And it's just interesting to me how in this context of Wesleyan theology, I think a lot of times we can feel like, why does it matter what your theology is? It seems very abstract. It seems like, you know, it's something that our Bible professors deal with, but it doesn't impact our daily life. Mm-hmm. But this idea that the concepts of our theology then put us in the right posture, and specifically for this context, the right posture to meet the other, mm-hmm. right? And how we relate to others, how we do this work of not just racial reconciliation, but just community in diversity, flows out of our posture, which flows out of our theology. And it's just always really encouraging to me when our Wesleyan theology forms a beautiful posture for us, right? Lays the groundwork for us to meet the other in a way that hopefully brings unity and community. And so that's really encouraging. And next time we're on the radio, we'll hear how it went.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'll be eager to share. But anything exciting happening for you, Maria, this weekend, week? I think there's some pretty big events on campus.
Right. Well, right? There's tons of stuff happening this weekend, right?
And yes, then I think it's family weekend.
It's family weekend. Yeah. There's the goat roast, which we love, but sadly we will miss this year because my kids are running a cross-country meet in Louisville, so we have to be all the way over there. But okay. There's like parents coming, siblings coming, there's meals and breakfasts and meet and greets and all these fun things. So I think it'll be a fun weekend on campus.
Yes, so we will both have full schedule.
Yeah,
this weekend.
We'll have a lot to talk about. Yes. It's not that I ever lack for things to discuss, right? But this will be good. So we should introduce our guest today. So last week, just a week ago, we had the privilege of hearing from Joy Rivas and her story. And I was so encouraged by her story. And every single time we interview a student, I always come away feeling like, one, I learned something about them that I didn't know before, which is always surprising that in public radio. Mm-hmm. I learned something new. And two, just the value of someone's story, what it means when someone shares their experience, how it changes my perception of not just them, but of the world in some way, how it encourages me. And I feel like we always come away with a new, just even a small piece of something about God that I see differently, that I see deeper. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing our story today. So today with us, drum roll, we have Ben Okenge. Ben, welcome to the Embrace Radio Hour.
Hello, hello. I'm excited to be here.
We're so happy to have you, Ben. So Ben, tell us and tell our listeners about yourself. So I know you pretty well, Ben. I've known you for what, almost 3 years now?
Yeah.
And so if pretend that you don't know us at all and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a junior here right now, and I study kinesiology. So basically, I'm always either in Hammond Ray or studying anatomy.
Which is a good thing, Ben. That's a good thing.
I guess it is. I mean, it's funny enough. Like, I have my anatomy notes here.
In front of you. So when it gets really boring, maybe you could think about anatomy instead of us.
No, I feel like I just constantly have to be looking at something. Otherwise, I'm not being productive.
So it's intense. Yeah. Wow.
I thought these were your notes for the radio show. And I was like, a little concerned that we're going to be talking about the muscles
the
of the head.
The axial musculature, yeah.
Yeah, there are some words that I'm seeing for the
Esther
first time.
Esther has experienced a deep sense of relief that is not our discussion.
No, I'm okay with not talking about that.
But maybe this should get you some kind of bonus point. If your professor is listening, would you like to give a shout out to say you actually brought your notes from class?
Shout out to Dr. Baldridge. I'm studying anatomy even while I'm on the radio.
That's right. Bonus points. I think at least 5 bonus points for that, if he gives them. So, Ben, tell us what you'd like to do with that degree.
Well, my ultimate goal is to one day have my own physical therapy practice somewhere in East Africa. I grew up, I lived in Rwanda for a long time, and I lived in Uganda for a while as well. And that's a field that's just still growing, mm-hmm. experiencing a lot of growth right now. And I want to be a part of that. And so, yeah, that's what I ultimately hope to do, but that's still kind of far down the road.
Yeah, lots more schooling between now and then.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
Right. So, Ben, tell us, you've mentioned Rwanda and Uganda. Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about your cultural background, where you grew up, and then how that brought you to Asbury.
Yeah. So I have two nationalities. I'm a Canadian citizen, and I'm also a Rwandan citizen. I was born in Canada, but shortly after I was born, I moved to Rwanda, and I lived there for the first few years of my life. And then I lived around in Europe for a little while my family was moving back to Canada. And I lived in Canada until seventh grade, and then back to Rwanda again. And then finally in high school, I moved to Uganda. And my high school principal went to Asbury. And so she kind of got me connected here. Mm. And yeah. So shout out to all my Ugandan people. You know who you are.
Hopefully they're listening, or we'll send them
a
link.
I hope so. I mean, I'd be disappointed if they weren't.
Yeah. Wow. So that is a lot. We could probably spend even an hour talking about just those three cultural influences, right?
With the for sure.
Canadian, Rwandan, and Ugandan. So I'm going to ask you one more question, and then I'm going to let Esther grill you on some of these things. But I'm curious about coming into Asbury after being in Canada, in Europe, in Rwanda, and in Uganda, and how that experience of arriving on campus was for you, and what it's been like to be, in our context, coming from such a rich cultural background.
It was shocking, to be honest. It was a huge change. Everywhere that I've lived has always been kind of a big city. And even in Rwanda, when I didn't live in a big city, it still feels like a big city because Rwanda's so densely populated. Mm-hmm. So even in smaller towns, it has more of a city feel to it. So showing up in Wilmore was terrifying. I mean, having to actually know who everyone is when mm-hmm. I see them, and just seeing the same faces. It felt like a lot of pressure for some reason. Also, obviously, a lot of people look kind of similar and have similar backgrounds, and that makes it really easy for them to associate with one another, and they have a lot of shared experience. So when I got here, aside from my fellow international students and third culture students, I didn't really feel like I had anything in common with people. Hmm. I remember when I showed up for Welcome Week during TAG, I felt like I just couldn't talk to anyone in my TAG group, which is weird because I know some of them now, and they're all great people, but it was just that initial shock of TAG Week and being around a bunch of Americans that were talking about things that I had never experienced. Hmm. It was my first time being in the States, and it felt like a lot, and sometimes still does to mm-hmm. this day.
Yeah, so the value of shared experience that we sort of take for granted is really powerful in forming relationships, mm-hmm. right? Because it lays this foundation for the things that we talk about and the way we relate to one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I can imagine that is really overwhelming to step on a campus where you don't have that shared experience with people, and that the majority of them do have shared experience in some way.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
You know, Ben, what I have appreciated about getting to know you over the last 4 years?
Three years.
Is your persistence and mm-hmm. your capacity to really stay, to be present. I don't think all of us do that work well. And there are many reasons for that. But sometimes with a story like yours, where you have multiple experiences, both cultural and otherwise, along with multiplex. So it's so layered. Your story has some very beautiful layers to it, like mm-hmm. being a citizen of two countries, mm-hmm. right? And carrying that in your design. I can't even imagine what it's like to hold that together. So could you speak a little bit to the fact that you came and you've stayed? Mm-hmm. So why must we stay in the why must we stay in the places we get to be in sometimes?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Actually, it's
because you could have easily run away, right? You could have been like, man, this is hard. Yeah. Nobody understands me. I'm getting out of here.
And everyone thinks about it, especially people, especially international students. We all have the thought at some point of man, this really isn't for me. I just... Mm. I want to go home. I want to see my family, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But to be honest, at this point, Asbury is the longest I've ever stayed in one place without moving either schools or houses or countries. So I really appreciate the feeling of security that I have right now at Asbury. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why I stuck around was partly because I could see that the hope for that feeling. Mm. And, you know, when you move around a lot and you have to make new friends every time and you're saying a lot of goodbyes, you feel like every time you jump into a new environment, you only have a short time there and you want to make the most of it. So when I got to Asbury, I felt very passionate about, you know, getting to know everyone I possibly could and trying to make the friends that I could and try to make myself feel at home, because I was so used to not really having that security. And, mm-hmm. and I could see that, you know, I have potential to be here for 4 years, which, you know, like I said, to some people doesn't seem like a long time, 4 years to be in one place. But for me, that's the longest I've ever been. So definitely that is a huge factor in why I've stayed and why I love it.
Yeah, and I think that's such a brilliant point, because you've highlighted the fact that the sense of just being in a space long enough mm-hmm. to feel at home. And I think there is wisdom in that. Like sometimes our proclivity is to run away mm-hmm. from things that feel hard, right? Mm-hmm. What if we just tried to stay and see if there was anything good? So Ben, naturally, my next question is going to be, so not just the physical space, but what were the other factors on this campus or in this area, in this community, that encouraged your staying, right? So are there other aspects in the community that lend themselves to giving you this sense of belonging, the sense of I have a place?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it sounds, you know, corny, but really the intentionality, especially of the faculty and staff here at Asbury, was something that I really wasn't expecting, mm. but that I needed. And I remember when I first showed up for the international new student orientation, I remember feeling immediately from our student leaders, from yourself, from parents and alumni that were around, from our class sponsors, I felt like everyone mm. was so quick to want to actually get to know me and actually get to know each of us. And our group, the very first day of the international student orientation, we clicked right away. And so that orientation process was definitely the foundation for why I stayed. Mm-hmm. The friendships with the international students and third culture students and really everyone during that time is super vital to my experience here.
So Ben, moving that maybe a little bit further along, because we've talked some about your, you know, moving from one physical location to another, having the sense of belonging or the sense of continuity. Could you speak to, and maybe that's the direction we could move in, is could you speak to how your faith has been a part of all of this formation, right? So how has faith and the crossing over of many boundaries, right? So not just geographical mm-hmm. boundaries, but the boundaries that come even from the internal, right? Like, we don't have a lot of time for me to unpack the internal, but I really have, you know, I am very aware of the fact that each of us carries an internal climate, an mm-hmm. internal space.
Yeah.
So if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Well, to take it like way, way back, I remember when I was first moving from Canada to Rwanda after seventh grade, I was in a really good place spiritually. I felt at home. I had lived in Canada for a long time at that point, and I really didn't think of anywhere else as home, even though I'd moved schools a lot. I remember I was just so comfortable, and I didn't want to leave, and I was furious at my parents that I had to leave. I was mad at God. And I remember thinking, like, this cannot be what God wants for me. Mm-hmm. And I was super bitter at the beginning. And after living in Rwanda for a while, I grew to love it, of course. And since then, I really realized how much each of the moves that I've had has really shaped me and developed me. And I feel so silly, really, for my mentality when I was first moving, because like God wouldn't have had it any other way, and that I can really see that was His plan, and I feel so secure and so confident in that at this point in my life. So moving to Asbury, I already had that appreciation for where I've been, so. It gave me this openness and this hope for what I could build here at Asbury within myself, in my relationship with others, and especially in my relationship with God. Coming to a Christian university was a huge part of why I chose to be here, and it's a huge part of why I stay. It's so important to me. And so, yeah, I think my spiritual formation here has grown a lot, and a huge part of that is because of my past experiences and really being able to see in the rearview mirror of how God has used a lot of my experiences to bring me to where I am now, so I can feel confident in knowing that where I'm at now is also part of God's plan for my future.
Hmm.
It's good, Ben.
So good, right? There's so much there, and it really encourages me just to hear that again. That, I mean, a couple of things you said. One, that the things that are difficult are often then become our gift, mm-hmm. right? So these difficult moves between places and cultures is now your gift, and that you said what God, I can look back in the rearview mirror and see what God has done, and that gives me confidence for what He's going to do. And it reminds me of the 23rd Psalm, that surely goodness and mercy will come after me, that as we look back, we can see goodness and mercy in all the things that God has done for us and in us. But it also reminded me, because you, Esther asked you, what made you stay? And you said the hope of what could happen. And it made me think, I had to look it up because I'm terrible about knowing where scripture is, but Google is not terrible about knowing where scripture is. And it reminded me of Romans chapter 5. Verses 3-4. So I'm going to read it because I think it captures a little bit of what you're saying. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, right? And it's so, whenever I read this, it's so interesting to me that the end of that is hope, that all of these things produce this hope in us. And then that hope fuels, right, our ability to endure suffering. It fuels character development, perseverance. And what a beautiful way for you to put it, that the staying power came from hope, and then the actual staying developed hope in you, and that God keeps doing that and has done it in different seasons of your life and will continue to do that is beautiful. I mean, I think that is a message for our whole community, right? Regardless of cultural background, where you're at in life, that hope comes out of seeing God produce in our lives character, perseverance, and then that hope fuels our ability to persevere. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that, Ben. So good. I think we're going to take a quick break, and I have to say that one of the balls I've dropped is not getting Ben's music that he chose onto the radio. So in theory, we would now have a song that Ben chose for reasons that would make sense to your story, but instead we'll just listen to a song and you can all imagine that of what is supposed to be happening. But until Google figures out how to read my brain, we will just deal with regular music. So we'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back, Asbury. This is Embrace Radio Hour. I'm Maria Brown. I'm here with Esther Jodhoff and Ben Okenge, and we've been hearing from Ben his story, how the different cultures he's grown up in has shaped him. And Ben, without fail, like every student, has brought us just a beautiful message of the gospel packaged in his life, right? So how God has formed in you perseverance and character and hope, and how that then fuels your future and your experience here at Asbury. So I'm curious, Ben, in talking about those qualities, hope, perseverance, character, what are some other qualities or cultural values that you really hold closely given your diverse cultural background? What are the things that no matter where you are, you've been shaped by them and you'll continue to hold on to these cultural values regardless of where you find yourself?
Yeah, I'd say right off the top of my head, the biggest one is family. And my family is the most important part of my life, really. I do everything with my family, and I talk to them every day, and they've really been the only ones that have always been there for me my whole life. And so I guess from the East African culture that I grew up in and was exposed to, the family is always so important. And I think that's something that I unfortunately haven't really seen a whole lot of in my experience in North America, whether that's in Canada or here in the States. I think people are really missing out on that. And I guess in that same vein, just the whole collectivist culture that they have in East Africa, everybody supports each other. They do things for each other rather than for themselves, and that's all super important to who I am and how I live my life. And I guess kind of the intersection of those two is the idea of extended family, and that really you can make your family who you want it to be. And so I have friends that I've been friends with for years and that I honestly consider to be my family. A lot of the guys that I came here with from Uganda, I know are like brothers to me. I have a lot of brothers and sisters, and so it's really easy for me to add people to that list of brothers and sisters. And so that's definitely a huge aspect of culture from East Africa that I live out. And I'd say from Canada is more the idea of hard work, and that's something that I see here in the States as well. But kind of the idea that you can't just sit around and wait for good things to happen. you sometimes have to go out and create those things. Mm. And, you know, that's an area where I could honestly say East Africans are sometimes lacking. So I've really loved being able to grab little bits and pieces of culture from where I've been, to build me into who I am today and who I will be.
Yeah, I love that. That's really great. The idea too, between, I think it's easy for us to understand family, even if we maybe don't do it quite the same way or quite as well, but the idea that family can be what you make it. And then when someone is added to your family, that you treat them just like you would family, that these relationships are so, so important.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, here in the States, even, Jordan and Ethan Mayo's parents look after me like if I was their own son.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they pay my phone bill like I'm on their family plan.
Wait, can I get on their family plan?
it's something that's just become a part of how I live. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's really common for people that are from more developing parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's great. And you mentioned hard work, and it made me think of one of the coolest things about you, that you I want you to tell everyone what you do in the summer, that you literally combat climate change.
Yeah.
Every summer. So tell us what you do in the summer.
So I'm a tree planter.
Not just a tree planter. Like, describe where you are at.
So I work in northwestern Canada, up sort of near Alaska. It's not too far from Alaska.
It's wilderness, right?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely just the forest.
Right. It's just you in the forest.
It's super remote. Yeah. When I work, it feels most of the time it's just me and God and the mountains and the mosquitoes. So. Yeah, I love doing that. It's one
Ben,
of my favorite things.
That's a good book title, I think. God
me and the mountains. Yeah. Yeah, if you, like this tree planting thing, and I'm totally going to let Esther ask you a real question here in a second, but this tree planting thing is so fascinating to me.
I think Maria and I were shocked to the core. Yeah. Like, you planted how many trees, Ben?
So far I've planted almost 250,000 trees.
250,000 trees, like by hand.
Yeah.
So Ben has Ben and I have talked about this extensively.
Yeah,
I'm so fascinated.
Pen and paper, Maria.
Right.
Went back to the basics, pen and paper.
Right.
It wasn't automated seed planting.
He literally carries the trees.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So
by yourself
you
with like the map in your head. This is just
You have to. So I love talking about tree planting. Any one of you that's listening, if you see me around and you're wondering what that's like, ask me about it. And we'll have to sit down because
yes.
I love talking about it.
And you can send them the National Geographic article about
this.
Yeah. Like,
there's
this
all
is
kinds
amazing.
Of really cool stuff you can read up on tree planting.
Yes. And it's amazing to me, from one, that you're alone, two, that you're like, you plant so many trees. It's really hard work.
Oh, yeah.
But also that you know where to plant them without carrying a map with you. Mm-hmm. If this were my job, I would be like on the like headline for CNN, like woman lost in wilderness for decades. No one would ever find me. I would be lost forever.
There wouldn't be CNN. Nobody would know.
No one would know. I would literally just be lost forever.
Oh yeah.
A life undocumented.
Totally. Your crew would forget about you. It's really a cutthroat industry.
But so amazing. So Asbury community, if you get a chance to talk to Ben about planting trees, you need to ask him about his summer planting trees. So,
yeah. Come
Esther,
out with me.
Yes, unless you don't have a sense of direction, and then please stay home. But Esther has some real questions to ask you.
You know, along with asking Ben about planting trees, I think we need to hear from Ben why it is important for us to participate together in the work of building a community that reflects the kingdom of God. So put it in a very basic language. Ben has been engaged and involved. He has shared his story, shared his voice across our campus. You know, he's been part of the mentoring program with our faculty. He has done several focus groups. He's led in orientation programs. So there are so many things about Ben that I could just go on and on. But I want our community to hear from Ben today about the value of participating in the efforts of building cultural responsibility together.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my least favorite things in life is people who complain about things yet aren't willing to do anything to change them. And that's something that I see a lot at Asbury. And I think when I got here, I noticed that immediately, and I didn't want to be one of those people. And so when I first got here, I remember seeing sometimes a lack of cultural responsibility and that sort of thing. And rather than just complain about it, I wanted to be about it and start doing what I can to help solve some of those issues. And so that obviously is a limited amount of things I can do, right? I'm only here for a few years and can only do so much, only have so much time and so much energy. But if every single person that complained about anything on campus or just in their lives just did something about it instead of just being complacent, then things would get done. And then there wouldn't be as much to complain about. And so, yeah, when I first got here, one of my main complaints was that I didn't feel like people were equipped to understand me, were equipped to interact with me. And that's something that I've seen change already just in the past 2 years. I'm a big fan of the new QEP. I love some of the things that I see our faculty working on. I'm really excited about some of the initiatives that our students have going on. I'm really excited about our intercultural affairs, like our student groups. And that's all stuff that really gets me excited to be here at Asbury, because like I said, when I first got here, there were some things that were lacking, and they weren't lacking because people didn't care or people didn't want to be informed. It was just because they didn't know how, or they didn't know that they were misinformed in the first place. So I think a big part of our job as international students, intercultural students, third culture students is to interact with everyone on campus and kind of share who we are and kind of humanize it, really. It's not a us versus them situation, because, you know, you walk around the halls with these people every day. You interact with these people every day.
Thank you, Ben. I think that's a very important feature that you highlight, you know, that if you are bothered by something, then don't just remain bothered by it, but find a way to engage with it, to address it appropriately. And so I think that is such an important piece. And you also recognized that our community has come a long ways. And I think the efforts of building a place that is culturally responsible takes a long time. It takes all of us to make it happen. This is not just the work of our internationals or just our U.S. ethnic minority. It is the work of all of us, our Caucasian students, our internationals, our U.S. ethnic minority, and not just our students, but our faculty and staff as well. So thank you for highlighting how each of these parts of our campus community are recognizing perhaps how they can participate. So, Asbury, I just want to take this moment to say thank you to you for the part that you have played in growing our campus. Have we arrived? I don't think so. I think we've got a ways to go, but can we get there together? I think together we can. And that is what Ben has reminded us, is that we need to work to find a solution. So,
yeah, and Ben, you mentioned our student groups, and we forgot to say that you are the president of our International Student Alliance. So that's one way that you've definitely contributed and are contributing on our campus. Can you maybe talk about what are the most meaningful impacts you feel like you've made or the most meaningful ways you've been able to interact on campus. So we've kind of mentioned briefly some things that you've been involved in, but what stands out to you as like, oh, that'll really stick with me or stick with our community for a long time?
Yeah. To be honest, a lot of the stuff that I'm involved in that's where there's a title attached and that kind of thing, I love it and I feel like I'm doing good work there, but I feel like I do a lot more just in my like everyday interactions, and I think a lot of student leaders on campus would say the same thing. Although I do remember the Are You Serious panel that the BSA hosted, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. That was really cool to be a part of. The turnout was pretty good, and I remember there was just a lot of really good conversation, and people stuck around after the panel was over, and we had a lot of really good chats, and you know, not everybody agreed with everything that was said during that time, but we were able to talk about it and see things from each other's perspectives, and that's the kind of thing that I really, really love being a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So carrying, I like using leadership to be able to have just these regular conversations and let those things carry me and give me opportunities to use my voice just in a one-on-one way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds like you're really intentional about that. Sort of like we talked about before, seeing the experiences in your life as equipping you for what you're doing now, that you're capable of seeing these opportunities for leadership as a way to build our community and use it as a platform for your voice. And
it's a process, and I learn a lot as well. I realize when I interact with lots of students on campus that I'm also guilty of, you know, putting people in a box, assuming their story, and that's not right. And so when I interact with people, and I think everyone could say the same thing, you're able to really see a different perspective, and it opens up your eyes to who people really are, and that's really important.
Yeah, that reminds me of what you said earlier, that a lot of times our lack is not necessarily a function of malintent, that our intentions might be good, we just don't know, right? And so these opportunities to interact with others and to hear stories open up doors for us of knowing more, and then we can act on what we know. So I think that, I hope that speaks to our community, really, that our intentions are to have a diverse community, but sometimes our lack is that we just don't know, and we need these opportunities. We need stories like yours. We need voices where we can hear and experience differently and then act on that knowledge. That was profound, right? Silence.
That is profound, you know, because I think this talk about the fact that our community really has good intentions can be supported by some data work that was done about 10 years ago, I think 10 or so years ago, where we just did a climate study of our campus as it relates to cultural responsibility. And genuinely, the data, you know, just reflected that we're just not aware. And so we miss, or we malfunction, to borrow from Miroslav Volf, the malfunctions of theology. We just malfunction and do ourselves a disservice. And so I think if we can continue to grow in becoming alert and aware of how we could probably fall into a malfunction, I think we'll do our community so much good. And I get excited. I mean, Ben, you've shared so much today that we really need to reflect on. You know, you talked about the cultivation of hope. you've talked about do something about a problem or a challenge that you see or experience. And don't, you know, if I may just add to that, don't do it alone. There are people on this campus, in this community, that are gifted and skilled and here for those very purposes, you know. So not just for the area of intercultural matters, but across the board, you know, we have faculty, staff who are skilled and trained to contribute in some very important ways. So not to do it alone, to do it together. And then I think to recognize that, you know, oftentimes our mistakes are just a, you know, I don't want to say just a malfunction because I don't want to minimize it, because our malfunctions are sometimes pretty significant to the point where it causes hurt.
Right. We can cause great harm with good intentions, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So I think, you know, Ben, you've given us so much to think about. You've always been, I think Marie and I have always reflected on the fact that you just carry such understanding and depth because of the life and the experiences you've had. And so I, you know, just want to thank you personally for being open with us, for sharing with us. And I'm excited that we have you for another year. So I'm just eager to see what more, you know, that hope of like, as Ben grows and as we grow with Ben, like how is that hope going to transform us and shape us?
Right. Yeah. And I think, Ben, the words that stick out to me along with hope and perseverance is the value of staying present and alert. And Esther, you alluded to this, that, you know, we can, with really good intentions, just be completely unaware. And so how can we be tuned? How can our hearing be tuned? How can our vision be tuned to the things that we might be missing? How can we be alert to the needs of those around us? How can we be alert to what our community is lacking, where we need to grow? And I think we do that in relationship, as you know, as we sharpen one another, as we hear stories, as we do something about the things that we see need done. But I think that, you know, I'm always looking for ways that these stories can relate not just to our international students or our U.S. ethnic minority students, but how this can relate to our whole campus. And the message is hope, community, present, alertness, and building this capacity, this character to be building the kingdom, right? As if we could be so bold as to say that, that this is what God is developing in each of us. And I think, Ben, your story today has helped us to kind of flesh that out. And I think, I hope that it's an encouragement to people who are listening that the experiences that you have, even difficult ones, can be moved in you in a way that develops character, which produces perseverance, which produces hope. And that is a really hopeful message. So Ben, as we end for today, is there anything else you'd like to share with our campus?
Nothing off the top
Do you have any shout outs? Is anyone going to be mad and say, you were on the radio for a whole hour and you never said my name?
Shout out to my girlfriend, Victoria.
Hi, Victoria.
She would be disappointed to find out that I didn't mention
Victoria,
her.
I was really hoping he was going to mention you. So thank you,
So there
Ben.
We go. Good. So you won't be in trouble later, Ben. Well, Asbury, thank you for joining us again today as we shared in Ben's story. Esther, do we have announcements? We have the Diversity Dialogue coming up October 10th.
Yes, and I think, you know, just in parting, I was actually going to say it is family weekend, so I hope that our campus will have fun. Those who get to have their families here, I hope you have a great time. I hope, Maria, you and Dr. Brown, as you visit, yes, the presidential family in this event, that it will be a wonderful time of fellowship, getting to know. And then for those of our students who may not have family coming, I hope that it will still be a time of good fun around the events that we have on campus. So so I just wanted to share those few thoughts before leaving.
And
I
for mean, those I students.
I always have something more to share. You know, I've got this Wesleyan thing in the back of my brain, but I'm like, well, maybe I should hold it till next week.
And
maybe we can share. But
but
Maria, always a delight. Always a delight to do this with you. Ben, thank you for being with us. Sophie, thank you for making this possible.
Yes, thank you, Sophie.
So I could go on and on, but Maria, land us.
Yeah, well, you said students who don't have family, and it made me think. But Ben says, or has reminded us today, that you can make your family whoever you want them to be. And so once you bring them in, they're family. So I hope everyone feels that this weekend, a sense of community and family and being heard. And we will be back on the air for sure in 2 weeks. Next week, we're not sure, right? Next week is actually my kids' fall break. Esther's convinced that perhaps she will put my kids on the radio, but I don't know. We'll see.
That is the hope one of these days. So
yeah,
I think
so
we'll, we will be back on October 16th.
Yes.
That's the next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
If we decide not to be back with you next week, we will be back on the 16th.
Yeah.
Which is Maria's birthday. I just made the connection.
Oh, boy.
But do not worry, community. My birthday is on Friday, the 11th.
That's right. Esther's is Friday, the 11th. So next time we come back, we'll have some birthday songs. So, Sophie, thank you for your help. Ben, thank you for sharing with us. Thank you, Asbury. And we'll see you, or hear you, or you'll hear us
yes.
soon. Have a great afternoon.